I don't know if you've ever seen when NASA launches a space shuttle into space, and they have these, I don't know how you call them, these boosters that takes them from the Earth, all the way to space. But when they reach a certain point, they have to let go of those boosters, right? If they are going to go to the next level where there's no gravity, the boosters were good to take you from the Earth to the space. But when you to go to the next level, you have to let go. I think it's a beautiful picture of what some of us needs to do. It's not that the past was bad, you know, but it's that if you're going to go to the next level, you cannot continue to hold onto certain even good things. Amen. Now, does that mean that we have to completely forget everything about the past? You know, when the Israelites, I wrote about this in my book on transition, when they left Egypt, they took Joseph's bones. There's certain things from your past that are good that you have to take with you. And God spared the firstborn of every Israelite house that represented the future, but that was part of the past. There's certain things from the past that will be part of your future, but when you make the transition, make sure you protect those things so that they don't get damaged in the process. Amen. Did my wife did a good job?
Praise the Lord. Yes.
Thank you for your collaboration. Amen. Well, are you ready for the second header? Or third? We started with healing, physical healing, then inner healing. And we're going to bring this home. I promise you, I will not labor too long, but I think it's going to be good. Are you enjoying this? How many of you appreciate the leaders of this church that have, there's some, and some, we go all over the United States and around the world. You have so many churches today that will not do a meeting beyond Sunday morning. They don't have Sunday night services anymore. They don't even have Wednesday night services anymore. It's just like a one shot on Sunday and it's over. Thank God that there's a place where they have a vision to facilitate the move of God. Amen. And so don't take it for granted. Amen. All right. Let's make what we're going to talk about legal by going into the scriptures. Thank you for your confirmation. I wonder if Mr. Amen is here or not. All right. Genesis chapter 22, beginning on the fourth verse. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself, I have sworn, says the Lord, because you've done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Genesis 24, verse 63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Amen. And Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. Galatians, before we go to Galatians, before we go to New Testament, let's read one more. Isaiah chapter 60, Isaiah chapter 60, beginning on the sixth verse. Glory be to God. The multitudes of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. Let's now, our final scripture reading is going to be out of Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. Glory be to God. Then if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In Jesus' name. Would you stand up one more time tonight? And would you raise your hands towards heaven? I want you to make this prophetic declaration today. And say this with me. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come before you. I boldly declare that I believe in the supernatural. I believe in miracles. This evening, Lord, I ask you to give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, a will to obey, and faith to act. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take my position in Christ, and I take authority over every spirit that does not confess the name of Jesus. I command them to leave this place. And I declare that this place is an open heaven. The Spirit of God is free to move. The angels of God are ascending and descending. They are going to and fro to execute the commands of God's word. Preach, Holy Spirit. Teach, Holy Spirit. Prophesy, Holy Spirit. Heal the sick, God. Do what only you can do. And take all the glory in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Can you burn with a shout and say amen? Amen. Well, Charles Finney said there will be no revival if Mr. Amen, Mr. Red Eye are not present in the meeting. And I said, there will be no revival if Mr. Amen, Amen. Mr. Hallelujah, Hallelujah, or Mrs. Gloria are not present in the meeting. Can you say amen with fire tonight? Amen. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah? Tell somebody, my camels are coming. My camels are here. You have to unpack your camel. Amen. So, you know, we've been on this series of teachings. This is going to be the third one. My camels are here is not so much of a sermon as it is a prophetic word. My camels are here. We understand just a little synoptical review and drop the message home today. For those of you that were not here, how many of you, this is your first meeting, raise your hand. First meeting. All right. Quite a few people, all right? But just a little quick synoptical review without going too far, but we understand that the choosing of Isaac's bride is one of the most beautiful stories that has ever been recorded. In the story, we have the narrative, we have the explanation, the illustration, and the application of it. We have the record, the reference, and the representation. We have, we begin to understand that Abraham then is a type and shadow of God in him being willing to offer his only son when he was asked to do so. And we understand that Isaac is a type and shadow of Christ, number one, in his miraculous conception, and in the fact that he was willing to yield to the fact that his dad wanted to offer him as a sacrifice, as a grown-up man. We understand that Rebecca, the bride-to-be, is a type and shadow of the bride of Christ, the church. And that Eliezer, the servant who goes out on a mission to find Rebecca, his name in the original language means God has helped. He's a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. So we have the reference, the record, the representation. We have the explanation, the illustration, and the application. There is a prophetic application, the present application, and a practical application. So Abraham, in his journey with God, comes to a place where he's challenged when God asks him to sacrifice his son. He complies. And this is where we are in Genesis 22, verse 4, we read it. And then verse 15, we see the prophetic word that he receives from God that is supposed to be a significant part of his destiny and purpose. So the angel of the Lord speaks to him, and God says to him, because you've done this thing, that you didn't withhold your only begotten son, in blessing, I will bless you, and multiply, I will multiply you. You know, one translation says, in blessing, I will bless you, in multiply, I will multiply you. Your descendants shall be like the stars in heaven, like the sand on the seashore, and they shall possess the gate of their enemies. So with a little etymology, word study, we begin to understand that when he says, in blessing, I bless you, it's the Hebrew word barak, which means to bow down, to worship, and in adoration. So God is saying, because you barak me, I am going to barak you. But we understand that God does not bow down to us. But what he's literally saying is, because you put me first by not withholding your most precious asset, I am going to put you first. And how's that going to look like? I am going to multiply you. Glory be to God. How's that going to look like? That word multiply has several root words in the original language. It means rabib, rabba, rababa. It means I will rain down accumulation of blessings on you. I will multiply you by the myriads. I will multiply you by 10,000 millions. And how is it going to look like? Let me give you a little visual aid. Your descendants shall be like the stars in the sky, like the sand on the seashore. How many of you know you can't count that? And they shall possess the gates of their enemies. So God is saying, because you put me first, glory be to God, I am going to put you first. Now, how many of you ever wanted to be part of a family of someone that is extremely wealthy and they leave you on the wheel as a primary beneficiary of their wealth? I wonder if Mr. Amen has left the building. Glory be to God. Because tonight you've done even better than you being the heir of Warren Buffett or Jeff Bezos. You've done even better than that. Hello? Because Galatians 3:29 said that if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Come on. So the prophetic application, tell somebody, I may not look like that, but I struck it rich. Come on, somebody. I struck it rich. I know, I know what I drive doesn't look like it. What I, where I live in doesn't look like it. Come on, I know right now my bank account, but I just struck it rich. Come on, somebody. Oh, somebody better get excited. If you are Abraham's seed, glory be to God, you are heirs, come on, according to the promise. Come on, what God promised to Abraham, it is automatically yours. Hey, what is the prophetic and practical application of this? God is saying to you, if you barack me, hey, if you put me first, I am going to put you first. If you barack me, I'm going to barack you. But how am I going to barack you? I'm going to rebib you. I'm going to rabbi you. I'm going to rababa you. What does that even mean? Well, I'm going to rain down accumulations of blessings on you. I'm going to multiply you by the myriads. I'm going to multiply you by 10,000 millions. Come on. And your descendant, glory be to God, shall possess the gates of their enemies. In other words, I'm bringing victory to your house, to your children's house, to your children's children's house. Come on, somebody. Shout glory three times. Now, none of this can happen unless Isaac gets a wife and some kiddos. Where are all the single ladies? Thank you for your collaboration. Glory be to God. So it's been going on for some time now. Abraham got the word. Isaac got the word. And they've been waiting for the fulfillment of this Barak Rabah Rababa blessing. How many of you ever got a prophetic word and you're waiting on the Lord and he say, I don't know if the prophet was prophet trying or prophet lying or whether he was prophesying because it's been, Lord, I mean, it's about time. Abraham and Isaac, they represent people with a need standing on the word from God. Hello? Glory be to God. And what happened? It says Isaac went out into the field and he was meditating and behold, he lifted his eye and he saw the camels were coming. And who was riding on the back of the camels? Rebecca, the fulfillment of the Rababa blessing, the fulfillment of the accumulation of the multiplication by the myriads. Glory be to God. And I know that everybody is believing God for something that is near and dear to their heart. The prophetic application is this: the camels are coming. Rebecca represent your future. She represent your miracle. She represent your breakthrough. The camels are coming. She's coming, riding on the back of the camels. What is a camel, prophetically speaking? It's a type and shadow of a transportation of God's blessing. It's a mechanism that God will leverage to bring about the fulfillment of his promises in your life. So Isaiah is prophesying in Isaiah 60, speaking about the end time ministry of the Lord. He said, multitudes of camels shall cover your land. I wonder if Mr. Amen has left the building. In other words, the mechanism of delivery that God is going to leverage in this hour is not just going to come from one source. Thank you for your support. Multitudes. Oh, my God, I don't know who I'm preaching to. You thought the only way you're going to be blessed is through this way or through that way or through this person or through that job or that minister or that uncle or that person. But God is saying multitude. Come on, multitudes of camels shall cover your life, shall cover your health. Come on, shall cover your relationship. God has 1,000 ways to heal you, 1,000 ways to bless you, 1,000 ways to multiply his power in your life, 1,000 ways to turn your situation around. Stop looking just at this way, but there is another way. way. There is another way. There is another way. This door may shut, but there's another one that will open. This person may turn around, but God is bringing another one. Come on. When one door closes, a bigger and a better door will open. When you are in the kingdom of God, just hold God's hand from the closed door to the new door. Multitudes of camels. Shout glory 3 times. A transporter, a mechanism. And what do they transport? They transport gold. That's wealth. Incense. That's the anointing. Frankincense, myrrh. That's healing. We talk about that. For some of us, we're waiting for our camels. For some of us, God has called us to be camels. Look at your neighbor and say, Barak. Say, Rabah. Say, Rababa. Ask them, what is that? Say, that's camel talk. Come on. Some of you, if your wife has been telling you, you need to do more setups because, you know, your belly is pushing. You just tell them, I'm a camel. This is my hump. Thank you for your support. Glory be to God. Some of us, God has called us to be camels. That's going to be another message. I don't know if I'll do it on this trip or not. Others of us, our camels are here, and we just need to learn how to unpack them. And this is what we've been talking about. You know, we need to learn how to unpack it. When Rebecca saw Isaac, she dismounted. The camel was unpacked. When Eliezer came to Nahor's house, they unpacked the camels. And so we've been talking about this, the fact that those camels were so big, they could get up to 6 foot long, tall on the shoulder side and 10 feet wide. And the fact that they're so big, they had to make them kneel down to either pack them or unpack them. We talk about that. So we talk about one of the first principles that we discuss is the principle of, first of all, humility. You know, that's one of the ways you unpack those camels, by walking in humility. We're not going to go deep into that. The other thing that we talk about is we talk about learning how to yield to the Spirit. Camels coming is a move of the Spirit. We talk about the fact that you have to learn to go the extra mile. Rebecca was asked to give water to Eliezer, and she went the extra mile and gave water to the 10 camels. We talk about the fact that you have to be industrious. And there are many, many other principles under the camels from Rebecca's perspective, but I'm not going to go there today. I want to shift gears a little bit. And I want us to look at Abraham tonight, in a sense that he was one of the center figure in the story and how his action triggered the release of the Barak Rababa blessing. And we're going to see how he operated in this particular juncture in Genesis chapter 22, verse 4. And I believe that that is a revelation about faith, because one of the ways you unpack your camel is not just by walking in humility. It's not just by yielding to the Spirit, but it's by functioning in what I call the Abrahamic faith. Hello? You got to learn how to function in faith to be able to unpack your camel. So here's where we are. We get this in Genesis chapter 2, 22, verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Somebody say afar off. That was the place where the blessing was released. Hello? And Abraham said unto this young man, abide here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. All right? So here we begin to see that Abraham, glory be to God, saw, He saw the place where the blessing was going to be released, where the miracle was going to be released, the place that God was talking about, afar off. Somebody say afar off. Hello? When Isaac was meditating in Genesis 24, verse 63, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the camels coming afar off. Come on, somebody. The first dimension of the faith that unpacked the camels is called the vision of faith. Come on. Somebody shout the vision of faith. Come on. A vision from God. He saw the place afar off, the place God showed to him. Isaac saw the camels afar off. A vision from God will nourish your faith, and your faith in God's word will help fulfill your vision. But your vision will nourish your faith. I want to encourage somebody tonight. If you are believing God for something that he has promised you, you got to start to see it afar. I said you're going to have to see it afar. Hello? This is so important. If you're going to unpack your camels, you're going to have to learn how to see them before they get here. Well, I wonder if Mr. Amen has left the building. Listen, you got to have a clear vision. Why? Because where there is a clear vision, where there is a precise vision, your faith is energized, your faith is stirred up, your faith is activated, and when your faith is activated, your vision will be fulfilled. Hello? This is very important. If you cannot see it, you will not be able to unpack it. If you cannot see the design of God's power, the design of God's activity of the Holy Spirit in your situation, if you cannot see it, it is impossible for you to step into a place where you can receive what God wants to release to you. Hello? Glory be to God. Tell somebody you got to see it before you can receive it. You have to see it in your spirit before you can receive it in your now. You have to see it you have to see it at far off. I see it. I see it coming. Come on. This is a prophetic dimension of your faith. The seer. She got to see it. The servant did not see it. But Abraham saw the place. Come on. You got to be able to see it before it comes. She's getting it. Well, I know you're dealing with statistics and human predictability and diagnosis and historical occurrences and based on the statistics and probability and your age and the biological system. I don't think that God can still work this thing out. But I said, you got to see it. You got to see it beyond the statistic, because faith is not based on statistic. It's not based on your zip code. I'm from New York. It's not based, on your geography. It's not based on your gender. It's not based on your race. It's not based, on your party affiliation. I don't care if you believe in the donkey or the elephant. Sometimes they're two heads of the same snake. It's not based on any of that stuff. I want you to realize it's based on the word of God. That if God said something, I better begin to push beyond my statistic, push beyond my geography, push beyond my history, push beyond beyond public opinion, push beyond history, and begin to see the power of God past the statistic, past the history, past glory. Better God, whatever they say, I see my breakthrough coming. Shout glory 3 times. Now I know that it's easy to shout in church. Thank you for your support. But it's a whole different ball game when you're in it. And let's look at 2 Kings chapter 7, because here we have a situation where there is a crisis in the land. Famine. Hello?
Hello.
Now you know famine. The famine is bad. When the Bible says that two mothers sat down to discuss about eating their kid. I'm telling you, a mother instinct, she will lay down her life before she will go after her kid. A mother is a mama bear, come on. She will come after you if you mess with her kids. That tells you how low these women had to go. How desperate. That means that they didn't see. They didn't see how it was possible for God's hand, God's power, God's anointing to redeem the situation and open a way for a possibility. So they went down below, down and low. Hello? And it says people were eating donkey's head. That's a type and a shadow of a spirit of rebellion. Mother eating the kid, that's type and shadow of a flesh and blood revelation. Well, you don't have the ability to see by faith in the realm of the spirit how God can turn a thing. You allow your flesh to rule over your mind and your decision. When you don't see how the power of God can turn and change a situation, many people turn themselves over to a spirit of rebellion. Look at our generation. In America, we have a lot of people eating donkey's head. Glory be to God. They're not going to submit to nobody. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave. They're going to rebel against authority. Hello? And, you know, again, a lot of it has to do with the fact that we don't see how God can turn a thing before he can turn a thing. Other people were eating dove dung. I know it's wonderful when we talk about the rebellious young kids. What about people in the church? Some people were eating dove dung. When Jesus Christ was baptized by John, it's in the book, it says that the heaven was open, the Spirit descended in a flock of dove. So it's a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit, dove dung. When a dove goes into the bathroom and people are eating dove dung, that speaks of what? Leftover move of the Holy Spirit. That speaks of a religious spirit. When people don't see how the Spirit of God can do a thing, how the Holy Ghost can move, they step back into a place of religion. Hello? The point I'm trying to make here on this first point, on this dimension of the faith of Abraham, is that when we live our lives with a disposition of a mentality, a deficit mentality, we don't see how God can change a situation. When the narrative in which we live says that I don't see how God can do it, so I'm going to have to reconfigure my existence and my action and not reach vertically but horizontally with my own strength to help myself get out of the mess, Let me eat my kids. Let me eat donkey's head. Let me rebel against this faith thing. Let me go back to the old and how things used to be. Hello? So when I leave my life with a disposition, with a deficit mentality, and when I'm in a crisis and I don't have a faith that can see how God can move my situation around, reconfigure my existence by taking matters in my own hand instead of believing God. But the Bible says that Abraham saw the place as far. Come on. I don't see it here, but I see it there. Oh, many of you, come on now. Oh, you saw that. You saw that, but you didn't see this. That came, this came because of that. This is that which the prophet spoke about. The prophet saw it. Come on, this is that. The prophet saw that before that became this. They prophesied 800 years before the Holy Ghost came down. Because they saw that before it became this. Oh, on the day of Pentecost, when they were all together in one accord, suddenly there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. People got filled with the Holy Ghost, but 800 years before it, somebody saw that. But they experienced this. God sent me here to tell you. Come on. Before your healing becomes this, you better see that. Before your death becomes zero, before it becomes this, you better see that. Before your kids change and become this, you better see that. Come on. Before the cancer leave your body and becomes this, you better see. Before revival comes to this church, comes to New York, you better see. Before you see, oh my gosh, come on, the best days of this church are not behind this church. The best days of this ministry are not behind. Come on, you better see this before you see that. I prophesy, it is miracle time. It is breakthrough time. It is signs and wonders. I see it. Shout glory three times. Shout glory three times. Shout glory three times. Oh my gosh. Come on. Come on. Hey, some of you, you're not getting excited. You gotta see this. Come on. If you saw this, you'll be shouting. If you saw this, you'll be shouting. Because your this will change into your that. When you release your faith, when you see it, ask, oh my gosh. Shout glory three times.
Glory, glory, glory.
In the story, listen to this. The women who ate the kid didn't see this. Hello? So they never experienced that. The officer, the king, was angry. He was going to kill the prophet. The prophet, he saw this. Help me. And he prophesied. He was telling them the this before the that. And he said about this time tomorrow,
yeah, this time
there will be food at the gates of Samaria. There was an officer on whom the king was leaning. That's your mind. Romans 8 is an enemy of God. Oh, the natural man does not receive the things of the spirit, neither can he know them, for they are foolishness to him, for they are spiritually discerned. Hey, it was foolishness for many people. That this is foolish. That this is foolish. Oh, how am I going to be able to get out of debt? This is foolish. How am I going to get healed? To my mind, it is foolish. Come on, if I said to you, there are four satellites around planet Jupiter, and you get out there and look, and you say, what's the big black man talking about? That this is foolish. But if you take a telescope,
that's true.
That this becomes that. You can see four satellites around planet Jupiter. Come on, somebody. Oh, if I said to you, your skin is just like the skin of an alligator, and you look, this is a this. I said, big black man, don't mess with me. I'm not scared. Don't come over here and insult me. But if you take a microscopic lens, the this becomes a that. You can't see the this that is that because it is microscopically discerned. You cannot see, hey, the four satellites, the this that is that because it is telescopically discerned. Hey, the natural man does not receive the things of the spirit.
That's so right.
For they are foolishness to him.
They are too, yes.
That's the dish.
That's right. That's the
dish. Oh, neither can he know them, huh? Because they are spiritually discerned. That's the dot. Hey, come on, somebody. In other words, for you to move from this to that, you need the lens of the Holy Ghost. Shout glory three times.
Glory, glory, glory.
Come on, the Holy Ghost.
God, the Holy Ghost
will amplify your this and change it into a that. And that is faith. Come on. Oh, Elijah said, about this time tomorrow, all your this will become that. There will be food at the gates of Samaria. In other words, in 24 hours, this will change into that. And do you know what happened? It happened. Glory be to God. Because outside of the city, there were four skinny, bony, ready to die, starving lepers that never heard the word about that. Oh, but they felt a stirring about this in their heart and began to move into prophetic alignment with that word. And they were taking steps of faith. And God amplified the step. Oh, God amplified the step and the army. No, they heard the sound of a mighty army when they came into prophetic alignment with the this, the that happened.
Hey.
Come on, somebody. Oh, a stirring in your heart. A stirring in your heart. It's a prophetic indication that a disc has been released. And if you step into it with obedience, you will see that. Come on. You will see your breakthrough. You will see your healing. You will see your deliverance. You will see the open door. You will see the change. You will see the... Shout glory three times.
Glory, glory, glory.
The officer that heard about this but refused to see that, Elijah said to him, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not enjoy it. But I'm here to prophesy to somebody that is seeing this. You will see your miracle and you will enjoy it. You will see your breakthrough and you will enjoy it. You will see, come on, you will see. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. You will see it. You will see it. You will see it. Come on. You will see it. You will enjoy. Come on, somebody. Lady in the red, get out of here. Come. You will. Raise your hand. You will see it. You will enjoy. Come on, somebody. Oh, my gosh. Yes, come, yes. In the name of Jesus, you will see it right through, and you will enjoy it. Oh my gosh! Shout glory three times. Shout glory three times. Shout glory three times.
This is that.
The two ladies, one, two, come. Oh my gosh! You will see it. You will see it. Is this, but you will see that in the name of Jesus. Oh my gosh. Oh, come. You will see it. Yes. You will see. You will. Touch of God. You will see it. Oh my. You will enjoy it. You will see it. You will see your miracle. You will see your breakthrough. Come on. This church will see revival. And you will enjoy. Hey! If you're believing God for a miracle, jump out of your seat and run down here now. Come on, jump down here. If you want to see your that's, but you see your this. Come on. Are you ready? Line up shoulders, shoulders. Shoulders, shoulders. Line up. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Ushers, get ready. Get ready, ushers. Stand behind everybody. The power of God is going to touch them. Are you ready? In the name of Jesus. This is your this. This is your this. Come on, look at me. This. This is your this. This is your this. You will see that. If you see this, that. Sleeping. Touch of God.
This is that.
Oh my gosh.
It's so fine. It's so fine.
Oh. Oh. Psh. 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 Pow. This is that. Release it now. Heal it. Breakthrough. Miracles. Shake. This is that. Come on, people.
It's so fine, it's so fine, it's God's new wine.
Oh, glory, glory.
Miracle signs and wonders.
Oh my gosh.
This is
come
that.
On.
Miracle signs and wonders.
You didn't
this
come here by
is
accident.
That. Oh,
God is turning
today.
Things around.
God's new mind.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh,
this is that. This is that.
This is that.
Come on, the best days are ahead, ahead.
Born in the house of the Lord.
This
is that.
It's going to happen.
Signs and wonders. This
oh my God.
Is that. God's pouring out today. It's so fine. It's so fine. God's new wine.
Can I give them to you? Glory be to God. You're going to see that when you go home. Glory be to God.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God's pouring out today, and it's new wine. It's so fine, God's new wine.
Listen to this. The second dimension of this faith that unpacked the camels. This Abrahamic faith is a faith that speaks. Hello?
Hello.
When you see this, before you can see that, you have to speak this.
Yes. Yeah. That's
hello?
Speak it.
Listen to him. He said to the servant, abide here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. That's wonderful. But the key word, listen to this, and come back again.
Hey!
Come on.
Yeah.
He saw that. And come back again. In other words, we are going and we are coming back. When God said, we are going to kill Isaac.
Yeah, that's right.
But Abraham said, no, we are coming back. Come on. He saw this, but he saw that. All faith starts with word. Whenever God wants to birth faith, he puts word in his, he put his word in our mouth, and his word is seeds. Mark chapter 4 says the sower goes out and sows seed. The word is a seed. When you see this, the next step is that you have to speak this so you can see that.
That's right.
The spiritual realm is pregnant with the energy to manifest something.
That's right.
I'm going to say one more time for the hearing impaired. The spiritual realm is pregnant with the energy to manifest something. Mm-hmm. Both positively and negatively. Angels are ready to exceed in strength to do his word.
That's right.
Hello?
Hey.
But so are demons.
That's right. That's right.
Are ready to fulfill negative words that we speak. But you are the authorizing agent.
That's it. That's it. That's
when
it.
Words are spoken in agreement in your hearts.
Yes.
It becomes a spiritual force conceived in your heart that can either release the ability of God or the that's ability right. of demons.
That's right. That's right. That's true. It's true.
Your tongue lives in proximity of your spirit, and your words have created potential. There's a psychology of words. Word, expression of thoughts. There's a biology of words. Words can contain life or death. Hello?
Hello.
Glory. Amen. There's a theology of words. They express what you believe. Hello?
That's right.
And words have power. Presence, prophetic and spiritual implication, and they span the universe at the speed of light.
That's right.
Daddy Higgins said, the door of the supernatural swing on two hinges, speaking and believing.
That's right.
Believing and speaking. Oh, whatever you speak and believe,
right.
You are opening a supernatural door to release an activity of power in your life.
That's right.
Now, Psalm 24 says, lift up your heads, all ye gates.
Open up.
The everlasting door. Come on. You can lift up your head. And you can open up gates. And let the King of Glory come in. Who is this King of Glory?
Jesus.
The Lord mighty in battle. The Lord strong in power.
Yes.
When I speak the word.
Yes.
Come on. And when I believe, the door of the supernatural swing on speaking and believing.
That's
and
right.
Believing and speaking. And here's another revelation for you. The word door in Hebrew. Pekon. My last name in Hebrew means mouth.
That's right.
Door. This means mouth. Come on. God is saying to you prophetically. Come on. Open mouth means open doors. Come on. You better start to make an announcement to every closed door. In the area of your health, every closed door, in the area of your finances, every closed door, in this territory, in this church, come on, open mouth means open doors.
Yeah.
And we say, the camels are coming. Money is coming. The miracles are coming. The breakthrough is coming. Revival is coming. The harvest is
coming.
You better start to praise Him for open doors. Come on. The door of your health is opening up right now. Your bones are getting healed. Come on. Your blood is getting healed. Your heart is getting healed. Your eyes are getting healed. Come on. Open mouth, open door. 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 Open door. Open mouth. Open door. Open door. Glory, glory, glory. Open mouth. Open door. Open mouth. Drop the last bombshell. So he said, we are coming back. But I just sense a prophetic word for somebody. So in other words, Isaac was a son of the promise. And Abraham believed that there was a promise attached to him. So even though it left its life, his life temporarily, it was going to come back. Prophetically, I want you to think about this. It's like when you buy a plane ticket, it's a two-way ticket. Hello? There's an outbound flight and inbound flights. This is getting ready to be a prophetic word for somebody. Some of you, there are things that have left your life the last 2 years. Some of them are coming back. Come on. I say they are coming back. Your money is coming back. Your health is coming back. The glory is making a comeback to the God's house. Come on. The favor is making a comeback. Open doors are making a comeback. Come on. The Lord will shine his face over you. New York, revival is making a comeback. I know in the 1800s there was a move of God in this area, but the glory is making a comeback to New York City, Queens, Long Island, Manhattan, Nantucket, New Jersey, Newark, Harvard, Stanford, Columbia. The glory is making a comeback. Shot my camels are coming. My camels are here. Last thing. We gotta go eat. I already had some leftover from those barbecue yesterday. So delicious.
Yes.
Okay, I gotta get back in the spirit here. It's time to get in the flesh. The last thing I wanna give you on this key to unpack your camel is that Abraham. Faith involves the concept of risk and reward. He took a risk when he obeyed God. And that's why I want to put a little balance on this message. You know, he had a rhema word. Pastor was talking about his devotion today. The word, the rhema word, you abide in. But he had a rhema word. In other words, he didn't do it just on mental ascent. He had a revelation. Hello?
Yes.
And that's the difference between faith, presumption, and foolishness. Moses had a rhema word. When God said to him, stretch forth your rod and walk through wet places, through wet places and dry places. But when the Egyptians saw Moses and the Israelites do it, they stepped into presumption and foolishness, and they drowned. And so when we talk about stepping into this arena of faith, you got to make sure that you have a rhema word. Because the Egyptian didn't have a developed faith in God like Moses did. And sometimes we in the church, it's a teaching moment here, we mimic what our brothers and sisters are doing or someone that we know is doing. But we don't know how developed their faith is. And sometimes we make a mistake. You see, you can't start a 5-story building on the 3rd floor. And if you see them on the on the fifth floor, and you want to start on the third floor, but you don't have a foundational training and spiritual development and a relationship with God. And then you say, well, I tried this faith, but it didn't work. No, faith tried you, but you didn't work. Hello? It's very important. Now, we have a miracle ministry, as you've experienced here, every day people getting healed. That's a common occurrence in our ministry everywhere we go. Not because of us, because of God. Through his giftings that he has mercifully bestowed in us. So I believe strongly in miracles. In our ministry, we've seen 5 people raised from the dead with at least 2 medical documentation. So I believe, so what I'm about to say to you is not that I don't believe in miracles. I may sound like I'm a little bit, you know. So faith sometimes and science can work together in some cases. Let me explain what I mean by that. Let's say, for the sake of my illustration, I pick any one of you. We're going to change your name to Usain Bolt. World champion, 400 meter, one of the fastest running men ever. And you are a great runner, and we're going to put you in the beginning of the 400 meter. And we're going to take my daughter, Destiny, and put her 5 meters before the finish line. We put somebody else that's 80 years old next to her. And we put a 90-year-old next to them. I guarantee you, no matter how fast you run, you are not going to win that race. Why? By the way, my daughter is a runner. I was a basketball player, but she's a runner. She loves to run. We run at airports, hotel. We come home. We come to the hotel. Daddy, can we play a race? I'm like that. She's like breathing. I say, okay. She said, no, let's do it again. She's like, I'm so tired, Daddy. And I said, can we go now? No, let's do it again. I don't understand. She's tired, but she wants to keep running. So the point is, the people had a head start. And no matter how fast you are, you cannot catch up. So sometimes this is what happens in a situation where somebody gets sick and they discover that the disease had a head start. It's not that the power of God cannot heal them. It's that their faith is not yet developed. To make up the territory between where they are and where the disease is. So going to the doctors and allowing them to treat you is going to slow down the advancement of that disease until you develop your faith and believe God for the power of God to catch that disease and pass it, and you'll be healed and you'll be saved. So there's nothing wrong sometimes in going to the doctors, because you get information to teach you how to apply a strategy to fight this thing that you're dealing with. But sometimes you have some super saints saying, I'm not going to go to the doctor. And many times people die prematurely because they think it's a lack of faith. It's not a lack of faith. Hello? And I know that there's some ministers of the gospel that want you to believe that in the last 50 years they never had a headache. Respectfully, I can tell you that's not their brightest day in telling the truth. Hello? And so what I'm trying to say to you is, faith sometimes and science work together. So the reason why I want to be balanced is because I'm talking about taking risk. Taking risk. You have to take a risk because you have a... Now, you could have had your faith develop like some people in some part of the world where we travel. Their faith is developed. First of all, they grew up, there's no facilities, no hospitals. And when there are hospitals, even then, they don't even have the money to go to the doctors. And they used to believe God. So their faith is extremely developed. And in situations like that, they believe God and they get out of it. But if you have not been in the same level of development in your walk with God, you can say, I'm just going to do it because I saw somebody else do it. But however, God can speak to you with a clear word and say, you do this way. And if you heard from God, then sure enough, whether you have experience or not, you better obey the Spirit. And that's the balance. Now, speaking about faith then, in taking that risk, I'm going to bring this home now. You know, we just spent 5 weeks in California preaching in 9 cities. And one of the places where we preach a lot is in San Francisco. In San Francisco, they have something called the Golden Bridge. It connects San Francisco to a place called Marin Country. It's supposed to be one of the 7 wonders in the world. Here in New York, you have a lot of bridges. I could use the illustration here now. Right? But I don't know the territory well enough. The Brooklyn Bridge connects what to what? Manhattan to Brooklyn. Okay, let's take the Brooklyn Bridge. We're in New York. You know, I came the other day with my LA hat. People start to say, I'm a Knicks fan. I got another hat today. We went to the mall. I got a Yankee hat. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there it is. All right.
Represent.
There it is.
I heard the voice of the people coming before me. And I've come down to deliver them. No, I'm just kidding. So the Brooklyn Bridge connects Manhattan to Brooklyn. Now, some people will stay in Brooklyn, you know, and they want the blessing to come from Manhattan. Hello? Manhattan. However, your faith is that you have to cross that bridge. Faith is a bridge that connects us from where we are to the need, to the breakthrough, to where we're going. The world that God has created is a world that is full of gaps. There's a gap in time. Things don't happen immediately. Geography, everything is not connected together. Relationship, you don't always know where you're supposed to be connected to. But faith bridges the gap. And so with your faith then, you cannot stay in Brooklyn and expect the blessing to come from Manhattan to you. And this is what people do sometimes. They pray and pray and pray. And they say, well, I've been praying. No, you've been praying, but you're not moving in faith. Now, some people will move in faith by walking. How many of you know it's going to take you some time to get there? Some people can get a bicycle. Thank you for your support. But somebody else can get a Corvette and put the top down. And get there faster. Hello? It depends. Through faith and perseverance, you will possess the promise. So, but you're going to have faith without energio, third definition in the Vine Dictionary work. Energio, energy, is dead. Hello? So you're going to have to put some energy in your faith. So see, come on, see this before you see that. Speak this before you see that. Then put action behind your faith and start to move towards Manhattan. Come on, somebody. And you will see your breakthrough. Shout, my camels are coming.
Camels are coming.
Shout, my camels are here.
My camels are here.
Say, my camels are here.
They're here, my camels.
Say, the Lord is my rock.
The Lord is my rock.
Tell the person next to you, you can't shake me.
Can't shake me.
The Lord is my shield.
The Lord is my shield.
Tell the other person, you can't pierce me. The Lord is my strength.
The Lord is my strength.
Tell the person next to you, you can't stop me.
Stop me.
The Lord is my high tower.
The Lord is my high tower.
You can't reach me. The Lord is my refuge. You can't find me. The Lord is my deliverer. You can't keep me down. The Lord is my song.
The Lord is my song.
You can't discourage me. The Lord is my fortress. You can't penetrate me. He is our pillar of strength. He's the great I am. The Lord is my strength. When I'm weak, my joy. When I have sorrow, my peace. In the middle of the storm, I am not moved by what I see. I am moved by what I know. And I know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The Lord is my rock. You can't shake me. The Lord is my shield. You can't pierce me. The Lord is my strength. You can't stop me. The Lord is my high tower. You can't reach me. The Lord is my refuge. You can't find me. The Lord is my deliverer. You can't keep me down. He's my soul. You can't discourage me. He's my fortress. You can't penetrate me. He's a pillar of strength. The great I am. He's my weak. He's my strength. When I'm weak, my joy. When I have sorrow, I am not moved by what I see. I am moved by what I know. I see this, I'm going to get that. I see this, I'm going to get that. And I'm going to act on the word. Come on, somebody. Give to the Lord a shout of praise. We did a lot of prayer, but before I turn this over to the pastors, they're going to do the offering or whatever. I want to give you an opportunity tonight. Don't forget, when we come in these meetings, we're ready with a word from heaven, a fresh word. We're ready to move in demonstration and pray and prophesy and do all those things. This is why these meetings are designed for, but you can be here today and not know the Lord and walk away from this meeting. We don't want to just gloss over that fact. I like to tell the story about the fact that John Wesley had a dream, and he came to the gates of hell, and the first question he asked was, are there any Methodists in here? They said yes. Any Presbyterians? They said yes. Any Baptists? And he named several other religion denomination. They said yes. And immediately he was taken to the gates of heaven. And he asked the same question. Are there any Methodists here? They say no. Any Presbyterian? They say no. Then he was agitated and said, then who then is on the inside? They said, only those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Friends, you see, knowing how to swim does not make you a fish. And going to church or having a membership at a church somewhere does not make you a child of God. Hello? Your denomination cannot save you. Your religion cannot save you. Your righteousness cannot save you. Only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus save. Only Jesus heal. Being a good person is not going to take you to heaven. Your righteousness is not going to save you. And I'm talking to a few kinds of people here today. Number one, if you hear and you never ask Jesus to come into your heart, I want to give you an opportunity to do so, to receive the gift of eternal life. Or maybe you're here, you give your life to Christ, but you're not living the way you're supposed to. Or maybe you're here today, you're not sure that if you die today, you'll go to heaven. Or if you're here today, you're somebody that loves to go be around church and religion, but you're bound by a habit that does not glorify God. Today, God is not afraid of how dirty you are or how lost you are. He's not afraid to be called your God. You're never too dirty to be cleansed. You're never too lost to be found. Never too broken to be mended. Jesus is not ashamed to be called your Savior, your brother. He said, my hands were pierced for you. I spilled this blood for you. And tonight, if you hear his voice, the Bible says, harden not your heart. Every eye closed and every hair bowed. you're here today, and you say, I want to receive that free gift of eternal life called the miracle of transformation. I mean, one of those four conditions. Nobody's looking. This is between you and God. Every eye is closed, every head is bowed. You are now standing, and you have the audience of heaven. And the Lord is asking you, would you receive this free gift called eternal life? If you say yes, I want to get right with God. Just lift your hand where you are. I'm going to pray for you right now. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? I'm about to pray. Maybe you should have raised your hand. Maybe you wanted to raise your hand while every eyes are closed and the heads are bowed. Give you one more chance. Anybody else? Anybody else? You're in these four conditions. Let's pray together. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I repent for my sins, and I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I receive the miracle of transformation. I repent from all my sins, and I declare that Jesus is Lord. I receive transformation in my mind, in my spirit, in my body. I will never be the same. Never, never again. In Jesus' name.